This is Heather Johnson, and you're listening to the Ayurveda Life School podcast, episode number 151, Postpartum Care with Ayurveda. This podcast is for people who want to take their health physically, emotionally, and spiritually to a whole new level using Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient healing tradition from India. This is the Ayurveda Life School podcast, and I'm your host, Heather Johnson. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the podcast today. It is almost May, and it's a time of birth and renewal, and we live kind of in the country, and this big field next to us has got a lot of cows, and it's springtime, so many of these cows have had newborn babies, and my kids just adore it, and I will admit that I kind of adore it too, all these little tiny baby cows, the baby calves that are following their moms around, and their cute little white splotchy noses. These are, I don't know cows, I'm not a livestock expert, but these cows are mostly kind of a light brown with white spots on them, and they're just the most darling cows. Like, we walk by them and drive by them, and we're always like, oh, cute. There's probably literally like 100 cows in this really big field, or baby calves, and then all the moms. So I just have been thinking a lot about birth, and because we have been doing this series on women's health and from the time of preconception to conception to post delivery, which is what we're going to cover today. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that whole process of after you have the baby, how do you then care for mom and baby using Ayurvedic principles, especially classical Ayurveda, to help and get the doshas back in balance and help you feel really well. And I've had 4 kids. I have had them in various locations, meaning some were in a hospital, some were in a birthing center. I did one water birth. And so I've just had a myriad of experiences. But with all of them, I chose to omit medications during delivery. And so I did them what we call natural, which all types of labor and delivery are natural, but I just chose to do them without medication. And so my experience may be different than others who have had deliveries through maybe a C-section, or maybe they used medication to help with pain, or just various ways that you can deliver these babies. And it's such a miracle, no matter how it happens, right? How this baby gets here. And the fact that this human was grown inside of a woman's body, it really is kind of a powerful feeling. I think there's nothing that can compare to it. And it was a time that I just felt the most in connection with my own feminine energy and that strength and power of creation. And then there's a hard period that we often go through after we have delivered this baby. And so we want to do everything we can to help to make this a really good experience for mom and baby after the baby has come. And in classical Ayurveda, we actually have a phrase or a word for the actions that we take after giving birth. And it's called Jata Karma. So J-A-T-A Karma, Jata Karma. And it's these steps that we can take and real practical things to help to have a really good connection with the baby, to help your doshas come back into balance, to help the baby have a good start. So I want to go through a few of those things, and some of them I actually practiced, and so I'll share them with you. Other things I didn't implement, but you may choose to. So first thing is skin-to-skin contact with mom is really important after delivery. And thankfully, that is something that is very common no matter where you have babies. This didn't always exist. This wasn't always the case. Back in my grandmother's era, they never even saw the baby right after delivery. It was quite a time before they got to hold the baby. So now we know that skin-on-skin contact is really important right afterwards. And it just really helps to kind of create that bond from the very beginning. We want to always check breathing, making sure that the lungs are clear of fluids. Sometimes the doctors can help with that by rubbing the back. We see old videos where they would, you know, give the baby a spanking or something. They turn them upside down. We don't do that anymore, thankfully. But we just want to make sure that the breathing is good. They have a lot of good breath energy. And then cleanse the baby, wipe them clean. A nurse or attendant, whoever assisted with the birth, can clean the mouth with a little bit of ghee and salt. So just put a little on your little finger and put that in the mouth of the baby. Really good to cleanse and purify right after they're born. And then something else that we do in traditional Ayurveda is to cover the anterior fontanelle, that's that soft spot on the top of the head, with a bala taya, which is just oil, on a cotton cloth. So you would just make a little piece of cotton. You put a little bit of oil on it. You could use sesame oil. You could put some herbs in it. I added to mine frankincense oil, so it was an anointing of sorts to the baby. And because that fontanelle is so thin, it can go straight into the baby and help to assist with the brain and the development and calming of the baby as well. And this oilyation is actually really important for both mom and baby after delivery. So it's something that we integrate as like baby massage or into our rituals and routines for the baby and the mom right after. So that is something you would do pretty much close to right after delivery. And then we would cut the cord. We recommend ayurvedically that you delay this 30 to 60 minutes simply to allow all the rest of the nutrients coming from the mom into the baby until it's naturally completed, and that you tie off an area about 4 to 8 finger lengths from the umbilicus with string and then just cut just above where you tied. So that's how we recommend cutting the cord ayurvedically. And then a warm herbal bath. This is kind of an optional part of cleansing the baby, but herbs that you might use might be comfrey or lavender, some rose, calendula, and you would just make that first into a tea and then add that to the bath water. So it's a really gentle, mild, not a lot of strength to the herbs, but it helps to just cleanse and purify the baby right after. And then you can do a little herbal, we call it a confection, right? A little herbal treat. So you can take Brahmi or Shankapushpi. Both of those are nervine sedatives, meaning they're going to calm the nervous system. Mix them with a little bit of honey to promote intellect and can apply it through the small finger. Now that was what classical Ayurveda recommended. We know now that giving honey to babies can cause a lot of problems with their immune system as far as an allergic response. So instead you can use ghee. So we take a little bit of that Brahmi or Shankapushpi, mix that with ghee, and then just put that inside the mouth with the little finger. So those are kind of things that we would do right after the baby is born. Now, when we look a little bit further, there's some religious rituals. We call them pujas and homas, which just mean like worship and a time to give gratitude and to recognize the sacredness of the moment. I know with my little family, when I had my last baby, that's when I was more into living Ayurvedically, and she's almost 10 now. And so when she was born, I had all my children come in, and I had one of my daughters there when she was actually born, but the rest of them joined us after she was born, and we sang some beautiful, religious, important songs to us with the baby, and everyone was there and was able to kind of revere this baby as this new life that came into the earth. And it was really a sacred, special time for us. And then naming the baby. In classical times, infant mortality was really high, and so they often would not name the baby until after the 10th day. That's not really something we practice so much now. I've named all my babies, or at least knew what I wanted to name them or had some ideas before they were even born. But if that's something that you wanted to follow classically, you would wait until that 10th day after birth in order to give the baby a name. Now, something that's really interesting and that I found to be strange at first, but by my third baby I was all in, was to do something special with the placenta after the baby is born. So one suggestion would be consuming the placenta. There's so many nutrients in that, and it can be done a lot of different ways. What I found to be most palatable and just understandable to my Western brain was to have the placenta freeze-dried and made into tablets. And so we actually had a practitioner that was specializing in that, and she came in and would collect the placenta after you have the baby, freeze dry it, put it into tablets and then or capsules, and then you would take those several times a day until they ran out. So the number of capsules you get would be dependent upon the size of the placenta. Mine were always kind of big, so I always had plenty. I think that's the kapha in me. Another option would be that you can actually bury it in your garden, and it's supposed to kind of give back fertility to the earth and connect you more deeply to the earth. So that's something that people do as well. Now, we do recommend you leave the placenta attached at least 15 minutes up to 60 minutes, just so that you can allow the body to release it naturally. This will be very calming to Vata, and it provides more stability. And when you're leaving the umbilicus connected during that time, you'll find that you have less emotional difficulties as you progress through that postpartum phase. So that is kind of an interesting idea. Some people take it even further and they will actually leave the placenta attached to the baby until it falls off. That is not something I ever chose to do. If you did, it is a little more difficult to manage that. It can be hygienically kind of tricky, but this is something in some classical Ayurveda text that they do teach. So you could do that either way. So I chose to cut and remove the placenta, have it freeze dried, and then take those capsules. It does help with postpartum. So I did not do that with my first two babies. I did that with my last two babies, and I did have a much easier time emotionally staying balanced in that postpartum time because it was hard. I will admit it made it a little more challenging with each baby to want to step into that again because I knew what I was going to face. And I think it was even more difficult for my husband because I'm living it, but he's trying to be patient, and that I think can be really hard as well. So now when we see the milk coming in, we have to just know that the baby might not nurse immediately. Sometimes they don't. And so it's not something to stress about. We do try, typically if you're going to nurse the baby, to try shortly after birth. In Ayurveda, we understand that it's really important that the rasa dhatu is very nourished in order to have good production of milk, because we know that menses and breast milk, those two creations around the body, are upadhatus, or kind of like side creations of rasa dhatu. So when we have a lot of rasa, and as a reminder, that's the fluid in the body, right? That's your plasma levels. It's the fluid levels. It's the moisture in the skin, the moisture in the hair, the nails, the eyes. It's that ability to have like emotional flexibility and not be rigid. So it's kind of that sap or the juice of life is rasa. And so if you have a good, strong rasa, then it helps you to produce more breast milk. When you have scanty rasa or it's deficient, you're going to have issues with breast milk production. And we tend to see this problem more if you've really suffered from an increase of vata, because vata does tend towards more of the dryness. So if you've had a lot of vata type dryness or emotions or feelings, your digestion, elimination has been more vata during your pregnancy, which we don't expect it to be because you are building and developing, so you tend to have more kapha. But if you had vata issues, your breast milk might be in kind of peril, or you just may not have quite enough. So it's important that we kind of look at that and how we can create a little bit more strength in your breast milk. We also know that there is a connection between stress and milk production. So if you are in stress response, the sympathetic nervous system has been activated, that you are going to have an issue producing more milk. So that's where we want to bring in Nervine sedatives, right? Things that are going to calm us down, like the Brahmi or the Shankha Pushpi, or just bringing in ability to calm and rest more. We can also increase lactagogues. These are things that increase milk production. So some of those herbs would be like fennel or fenugreek or dill. And so those can be really, really helpful. And then if you're having issues with actually having sore breasts or mastitis, which I did suffer from that with one of my babies. Oh my gosh, I can't even tell you. That was probably the worst like week of my life. I don't think my mom talked to me more ever in her my whole life until that week, because I was pretty much crying to her on the phone every day saying, "You gotta fix it, mom." But something that did help was making a compress, and we put in that comfrey, marshmallow, and calendula, and then made a tea of this. And we want to make it a pretty strong tea because we're not consuming it internally. We're putting it on as a compress. Make a mixture of 1 ounce of herb. So you could do a third of an ounce of comfrey, a third of marshmallow, a third of calendula, or you could just do 1 ounce of one of those for 3 cups of water. And then cook that until it decocts down to about 1.5 cups of water. Then you'll take that tea, strain it, and then take cotton and soak the cotton in that tea mixture, and then put that on the breast. And you can leave that after nursing for 5 minutes or so. Another option would be to add a drop of chamomile or fennel essential oil. So those can be really helpful. You can also add fresh aloe if you're having excess heat. So if there's an infection and there's heat in it. So you can really add anything you need to those compresses to help to really soothe some of that. And then just apply it after you nurse for about 5 minutes. Something that was kind of an old wives thing that I don't think is Ayurvedic, but it's something I did, was to take cold cabbage. So we put cabbage in the fridge, let it get cold, and then place that on the breast when they were sore after nursing. So just some ideas out there. There's a lot of connection between stress. So the more you can keep your stress down, especially at the time that you're trying to nurse, and just relax so that your letdown reflex can occur, that's going to be really, really helpful as well. Now let's talk postpartum care just a little bit, and this is specifically to your mamas, because it is a hard thing to have just made a human and then be expected to take care of the human and everything else that's going on in your world as well. So this can really be a time where we see an increase of vata. The most important thing we're going to focus on is managing vata dosha after birth. And the reason for this is because we've had this baby in utero, and when you deliver the baby, you have now created this vacuum or this space inside of you. And so in a physical way, you have increased vata, but in an emotional way, you've also increased vata because what was a part of you has now been removed. And so we have to kind of go through a process, not of mourning, but of learning how to be separate from this life that was part of us. And so vata can be really a problem for us there. There's so much that we can learn at this time about who we are, about our connection to the world around us, our connection to the baby. But the first few months, we really want to focus on vata. And so sometimes you might get depressed. You can have a lot of feelings of overwhelm. It can be really helpful to get a postpartum doula to assist with you. It's good to have a connection with friends, family that's supporting you. So you really want a community around you, and give yourself downtime and rest. I think probably the best thing that my mom ever recommended after I had the babies, all four of mine, was to not get in clothing for a certain amount of time. And it was like weeks at a time. She said, don't get out of your pajamas. So you can take a shower, but put back on a clean pair of pajamas. Because what that helps is to remind you and those around you that you are in recovery, that you are resting. Because if you get up and you get dressed and you're ready to take on the day, and those pittas out there, you know what I'm talking about. You're like, hey, this pregnancy and delivery is not going to slow me down. I'm going to get right back to real life, as though that's a badge of honor. So it's important for us to look at, what is your reason behind feeling like you need to get right back into your regular schedule so shortly after having a baby? So is it to look good to other people? Is it a sense of accomplishment? Is it something to do with your value? And can you slow it down and just allow yourself to rest? So that is really, really important. That was probably the best advice she ever gave me. And I took full advantage of it. People knew that for the month after I had my baby, I was pretty much going to be absent without leave. And if they stopped by my house, I would be in pajamas, because it just forced me to remember to take it easy and to let myself and my body recover. And I think because of doing that, I was able to get back into things more quickly afterwards. With my second baby, I ran the Boston Marathon when he was 5 months old. And I know that had I jumped back in really quickly, that never would have happened. And so I allowed myself that about 6 weeks before I started to really exercise again. And then I was able to be prepared and ready and went and ran Boston when he was only 5 months. So I look back on that now and think, oh my gosh, that was insanity. But at the time, it felt really good. My body did well with that because I gave it a really good full recovery rest time. Now, you also want to look at bonding time. It takes time to connect and bond with your baby. Sometimes we think it should be instantaneous. And if you're suffering from postpartum, it's not going to be instantaneous. You're going to be having a little bit more struggle with that. So you have to give yourself that space and patience and decrease outside activity. Allow yourself to enjoy this space. Enjoy this time. It comes so rarely. Our lives are so full. And even if you've had many children, I think four is many, feels like many to me. It's a very limited amount of time in the grand scheme of your life that you will spend bonding and being slow and connecting with your baby. So give yourself that gift, right? Get help. Have people bring in the groceries. If you have to do work, try to do that in a way that you can be supported. So do as much as you can to be supported there. Now, sometimes we unfortunately have tearing of the vaginal canal. So when we deliver, we may have some tearing down there. So we want to really help that. And so we can apply a cotton bolus or a plug that is soaked in herbal oil into the vagina. And that's going to help all of the tissues surrounding that area to really heal well. So what we can use for that are hemostatic herbs. These are herbs that help to stop bleeding. Things like mangista or raspberry or sage. You can use a vulnerary herb, which is a wound healer. And those would be things like comfrey, yarrow, or calendula. And then you can have a classical oil, which is a vata-based tela, which is just a vata oil. It has a lot of different herbs in it. It would have a ghee or sesame as a base. Now, it's really helpful if you're having pain down there to use a menstruation pad, of course. You can soak in witch hazel, and you can actually take a menstruation pad, soak it in witch hazel, freeze it, remove it from the freezer, put a few drops of lavender in that, and then put that into the lining of your underwear. I know if there's gentlemen that have made it this far in the podcast, bravo for supporting your women as they go through this. But for us women, this is so helpful. It really, really does help. So all you need for that, again, is the witch hazel and a menstruation pad. You can soak that and it feels really, really nice. And then as that, you know, begins to thaw, then you can remove it from your underwear. So that is something also that we want to look at: restoration. We want to look at restoring your health, and it can take up to 4 months to be fully restored in your strength, your pre-pregnancy strength. So some things that you can use to really assist with that would be herbs. Getting in medicated ghee. And there's a lot of online resources where you can find medicated ghee. You can actually buy them through the California College of Ayurveda. They'll do some there. Mountain Rose Herbs sells some medicated ghees. I don't believe you can buy them through Banyan Botanical. I love Banyan, but they don't do a lot of medicated ghees. So do some research. If you have a question about whether or not the source you have found is a good source, you're welcome to reach out to me and I can vet it for you or just check into it. But we want to get medicated ghees that are prepared with ginger and other spices. So spices that are going to create a little more heat in the body to help to counteract some of that vata. Take in water and add molasses to it. It's interesting that we would do that, right? But it supports rakta, or the blood, and it helps to reduce the heaviness of the molasses when you put it into water. But it's very supportive of the blood. So when we're trying to replenish, especially if you had blood loss at delivery, this can be really helpful. Now for our diet, we want to follow Samsarjana Krama. This is the protocol we follow after a cleanse. All that means is that we want to slowly increase the difficulty of the foods that we're eating. So eat very simply at first, things like rice and brothy soups, cooked vegetables, so that your body can handle them before you build up to more difficult foods like meats or beans, things that are going to be more difficult for your body to break down. And add to those good herbs that will help to digest your food. Right? So add in your cumin, your coriander, your fennel, a little bit of ginger, so that you have a little bit of assistance in getting that food to digest. Now, something that I really, really love is to add in bone broth soups, because bone broth has got huge protein levels. It's very nutritious for the body, and it's going to help to strengthen you quickly. So that's a good thing to add in. Now, when we talked about vata and that space that was created within the body, something we can do on a practical level is just to wrap the abdomen. So you can apply sesame oil to the belly and then wrap it, the abdomen, to control vata. So you can do fabric that's made out of natural fibers that has a little bit of a stretch, and you just kind of do like a wrap around the stomach. And you don't have to leave this on there all day, but it is recommended that you have it on there for many hours during the day. You're not wrapping it tight enough to be uncomfortable, but you are helping to alleviate some of that vata space that's being felt in the belly. I think if you try it, you'll see it's very comforting to a woman after having had a baby. Now, this next one is my most favorite, and if you do this, it will make a huge difference in how you feel, and especially related to your recovery, your energy, and your postpartum depression. Massaging 30 days with oil massage. So a daily oil massage for 30 days following delivery. This does not mean that you need to go and get a practitioner to do it for you, but if you could, once or twice a week, go in and get an Abhyanga massage where they're literally doing a true, good, restorative oil massage for you, your recovery will be fantastic. But this could even just be a daily oil massage that you apply to yourself, an Abhyanga. It could be an oil massage that your partner applies to you. It does not have to be super technical, but we would like that to be happening every day for those 30 days after you give birth. This will be so assisting in getting that vata dosha to decrease so that you feel amazing going forward. After each massage, take a warm bath. I mean, does that not just sound like the most heavenly 30 days, right? A massage every day and a warm bath. I think that just sounds like perfection. And then continue to rest as much as possible. If you're experiencing stretch marks or itchiness in the belly, this can happen sometimes. You can add vitamin E or vitamin A, lavender, chamomile essential oil, aloe gel, and massage that into the stretch marks. Sometimes that could just help, and you can do that even when you're still pregnant because that will assist with those stretch mark creations. So those times right after you deliver a baby are really sacred. I really hope that if you are expecting and you're preparing for post-delivery, that you can really set aside that time. Consider it this sacred space that only comes around very few times in your lifetime, and it's a time where you can truly devote to restoration, healing, connection. It will make all the difference in your ability to bond with the baby, your ability to calm your doshas, especially vata, and to be energized and come back at full capacity after those 4 months or so. So those are some good classical Ayurvedic recommendations for post-pregnancy. I hope that was helpful and assisting. And if you have any questions about any of that, you can definitely reach out to me. If you have not done the 28-day Ayurveda immersion and you have been listening to this podcast for 151 episodes, I recommend that you jump in. You can learn more about that at ayurvedalifeschool.com/Ayurveda immersion. And if you have not ordered your starter kit, if you're still sitting on the fence, it's free, my friends. Go ahead and order that at ayurvedalifeschool.com, and it's something that will bless your life and allow you to get started in your Ayurvedic journey. So have a beautiful week. Enjoy the oncoming spring, and I hope to talk with you soon. Namaste. Before you go, was this episode helpful for you? Well, the most helpful thing you can do in return is to leave a review in iTunes. The reviews are what keep the podcast going. And be sure to subscribe and share this episode if you loved it. You can connect with me online at ayurvedalifeschool.com, on Instagram, and on Facebook at Ayurveda Life School. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.